Now it's time for Whispers, your number one source for all things paranormal, with your hosts, Jordan Klein and Nick Queen, and produced by the lovely Lola Miller. Whispers is brought to you by West Virginia Penitentiary Tours at the West Virginia State Penitentiary in Moundsville. Unforgettable, historical, educational.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Whispers Radio on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog. It is 6:08 p.m., 79 degrees here in downtown Wheeling. Give us a call, 304-214-1600. If you're out of the area, 1-866-514-1600. I'm Jordan Klein, he's Nick Queen, and she is the lovely Lola Miller. Hey, Lola.
Hey.
You seem rushed today.
Rushed?
Oh. Are you rushing?
No.
No, I'm Jewish.
You are. We're getting synchronicity here.
I knew that was coming.
Did you?
Hey, Nick, are you recording?
You yelled at me and I'm not paying attention to you anymore. I'm going to play Doodle Jump on my iPhone or iPod Touch.
Just mute him.
Yeah, okay.
We got a fun show tonight for everybody. As you know, we've been talking about it every week. Our Penn trip is coming up June 30th. That's in 30 days. Today's June 1st, so the countdown has officially begun. If you have not got your tickets yet, what is your problem? What are you doing?
I know.
Get your tickets,
folks.
We got plenty of spots available, waiting for you. If you're like, I'm going to wait till last minute. Well, don't. You've reached it. You've reached last minute.
Yes.
If you're one of the people that have reserved the spots, time to turn in your money. You can bring it by the station now if you want.
Yeah, we're here until 8 o'clock.
But it's going to be great. Tonight's show, we got the two guys that we're bringing in to give the presentation right before our trip are going to be on the show tonight, Herb Street and Dwayne Claude, talking about what they do a little bit more, just to give you a little extra supercharge on what's going to be going on, what's happening. Oh, I'm so excited. It's going to be so fun.
I know. I'm trying to pick up different techniques or really rule out other ones. Been watching too much of this stuff on TV.
Are you addicted yet?
No, because yes. Every time I start to think, oh, wow, this is really... Then they get one episode where they didn't get anything, and it's like... I mean, how do you go to Salem, Massachusetts, and not get anything?
Well, you can't. You can't schedule a haunting.
But you'd think that some of them would just...
Fake it?
Yeah, well.
Is that what you want to happen? You either get something real or you make me believe it's real.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Lola Miller and I'm angry.
Sorry. Well, I'm not going to say anything else if you're just going to pick on me like
you usually
do.
See how he is?
Nick. I know.
Let's just let him talk to himself. I'm at 8,950 some points on Doodle Jump and I'm having fun.
I watched the episode with the Stanley.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Isn't that awesome?
But the thing is, that place is so nice. I can't afford to spend one night there, let alone.
How much is a room there? I've never actually looked that up.
Well, let me see.
Let alone waste the entire night staying up.
I want the room Stephen King stayed in.
It's a lot of history, though. That's where he wrote.
That's where he got the idea for The Shining.
Yeah, the idea. Yeah.
Let me see here.
Have you ever seen that, there's a thing online, where they do Winnie the Pooh? Remember that Winnie the Pooh thing I showed you for the, Alien versus Pooh?
Yeah.
Well, they have, The Pooing. That's got, Winnie the Pooh and...
Are you seriously playing Doodle Jump?
Yes, I am.
Can't you tell?
I give up.
I just...
Can you focus?
Are you going to apologize?
No.
Hey. Anyway,
so they use the K2.
I was wondering how long it would take you to see that I actually am playing Doodle Jumping. 12 minutes.
Well, that's because no one assumes that you are rude enough to actually do it while we're on the air.
It was just to him. So
actually you were paying attention to all of the rest of us and just doing Doodle Jump with that little corridor in your mind.
I did respond, yes.
The little place that focuses on me in Nick's mind was playing Doodle Jump.
I wasn't very good at it because it was only a very small place.
Did you find the...
Yeah, but I can't find any prices, of course.
Really?
And it says room 217, that's the one that he stayed in, and 401 are the two most highly requested rooms.
Yeah, 401's where all the stuff happened, yeah. Isn't it?
I've been on the outside of it. But yeah. Yeah, but it's like I felt like we had to have dollar bills ready to pull into the driveway. So we didn't go in there.
Now, which one did you watch? Because they did the live. Do their live specials there.
That's the one I saw.
Is it? Yeah. I know they did one. They kept the video camera out all night, and like glasses were shattering and.
See, yeah, that bed covers were moving. They just kept talking about that, and they showed like the broken glass and things like that, but. We've had somebody else on that's talked about it and about how, because it's built on so much crystal quartz inside the mountain, that's what gives the spirits or whatever, the energy to really do some phenomenal things. But this is the one when they were down in the guts of it, down in the basement in those hidey hole crawl spaces. And they said, is anybody here? And plain as day. Hello.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and then it was like kind of a sing-songy voice, and it, you know, and then the other one we watched too was the Hindenburg crash site.
Really?
Oh, that hangar that they stored those things in.
Amazing.
It was shadow people, and you know, just walking around with a recorder in their hand, and they're talking to each other, and you could hear. The footsteps on the catwalk above them.
That's creepy.
Yeah, that place was really. And then at one point, the girls, I don't like those tours. But anyway, they were in the medical building.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, said something in this light at the end of the corridor, shut off. They heard like what sounded like somebody going, a door shut. Or wait, the light came on. The noise, the door shut, and then the light went off. Like somebody had come in, done something, and left.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, I got prices here. All right.
Did you find prices?
Yes. Yeah,
to stay at the Stanley Hotel.
Yes.
What are we looking at?
All right, well, it depends on what kind of room you want to stay in.
The ones that we can afford.
All right, where's our guest? No, all right, I'm looking at a Friday night stay, one night, two adults, you know, this is for June 11th. We have three selections. I don't have the other. There's five. Actually, wait a second. There's several different selections. I'm sorry. I didn't realize you could scroll. The Manor Queen, and I'm looking at a nice room, $169 for that one night. Classic Queen, $239. Deluxe King Room, $319. Historic Queen, $229. Then you got the villas. One bedroom villa. Very nice. Got, you know, living room, everything like that. $400, two-bedroom villa, $500, three-bedroom villa, $600. And then you can also enhance your stay with champagne and truffles for $47 extra. A resident psychic of the Stanley.
A resident psychic?
Yeah, resident psychic. It actually doesn't have a price here, so that might be free. Who knows?
She zaps the price into your
head. I'm sure she they get you somewhere.
All right, well,
cookies and milk, $12 extra.
Ghost tours, this says $15 per person.
At the Stanley?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, but that would be very, I'm sure, very limited into what they would allow you to do.
Especially since you can't really go into the rooms because people are there.
And what was the other one? Oh, well, in Salem, they were at the Hawthorne and at the Lyceum Restaurant, which is supposedly built on the property of the first woman that was hanged for being a witch.
Oh, wow.
And they didn't get it. But I was surprised they didn't go in the graveyard. That would have been...
scary.
Well, I've heard that the graveyards around there really, really are. Because you have graves all the way back. Yeah, too.
That's ancient.
Yes.
Well,
any idea what the room 217 is? Like, is it a queen?
It's just a room, I
think.
Just
a room? So that you're looking around $160-something.
That's not bad.
No. I mean, not as much as I thought it would be. I mean,
because
I'm looking at it, I can kind of remember the way the room looks, and I don't know if you can see it from here, Lola.
Well, when we
that kind of looks like the same kind of room. I mean,
when we get Stephen King on, we can ask him if he stays in the same room each time he visits, mm-hmm. or if he only went there the once.
There we go.
He showed up once. He was like, "Yeah, it's enough for me." There was these two little girls that were freaking me out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and book this on your credit card. So can we go ahead and get?
Thanks. Can we get Dwayne on? Is that? Yeah. I don't know. Where's the sailing at? Is it Colorado?
Estes Park, Colorado.
Straight up out of Boulder.
Out of Boulder. That could be a cool road trip. I mean, we'd have to save quite a bit of dough.
We'd have to get one of those snow cats to go up the hill.
In the winter?
Yes. When else are we going to go?
My kid. He lives in Boulder.
There we go. We're staying with
I
Eric.
Wonder if you have to be staying at the hotel to get that price
for the ghost tour. Hunt.
Yeah. I bet you probably would. I bet you they would probably do that to you. I don't actually see where they have the that information here.
All right. Well, like I said, our guest
on
tonight.
On the ghost tour thing? Wait a minute. Real quick. You have to have 25. And you have to make reservations at least a week or two in advance of your stay.
Yeah, so you'd be doing it at
yeah, the you have to stay there then. Geez, what's the point of getting a room?
Because I told you they I'm sure they don't let you have like free
room. Yeah, but you gotta pay like $300 for a room and mm-hmm. then pay an extra $15 to do a ghost hunt where you're not even sleeping in the room.
Well, you need somewhere to change.
I guess. To store your equipment. Mm-hmm. Our guest tonight, we were talking about the pen. One of our presenters, one of the guys we're bringing in that's going to investigate with us and have just a grand old time teaching everybody what he does, Mr. Dwayne Claude. He is a demonologist. He does exorcisms and all that kind of good stuff, well, bad stuff, however you look at it. Probably good for him. Dwayne, you...
I'm with you.
All right.
Can you help him? He's having an argument with himself. Is it good or bad stuff?
Well, I figure it's good for you because business is business, right? But
well, I could do a little bit less of that business, to be honest. But,
yeah.
You know, it's interesting to say the least. You know, it has to be the most interesting introduction I've had, though.
Well, that's why we usually don't let him do it.
I aim to please. That's what I do.
So we're going to have a little bit of fun here in a few weeks. I'm looking forward to it.
We are so excited. So excited.
Can't you tell?
Yeah. Hold back that.
I really am. I'm so looking forward to this, having you there. I'm hoping that I do experience something, but with you there, you can get it away from me, too. I'm counting on that.
She gets possessed, but only a little and for a small amount of time.
Yes.
You know?
That's it.
Long enough to get the videos.
Long enough for her head to spin around and start throwing up pea soup, and then we can end it up. We can videotape it.
See how they are. They're always looking to make a buck off of me. It's awful.
We're in a bad economy.
Yeah.
So okay, go ahead.
You've gone to the pen before.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, have you ever had any bad stuff happen there?
I haven't had anything happen to me. Nothing ever comes near me. Or
you gotta be kidding me.
No.
That's one of the best places to go.
I know. That's what everybody keeps telling me.
I think she wants to see something so bad, Dwayne, that I think she's expecting too much. And what, like, there's, like, ghosts, like, poking her in the side. She's like, oh, God! I'm so uncomfortable. Why don't I just see a ghost? You know?
And it's going to end up being like the man with two brains where she's going to be like, God, just show me a sign. And, you know, the wind's going to blow through the room and everything's going to spin. She's going to be like, all right, fine. If you don't want to do anything, you know.
Well, the Sugar Shack is really active. I mean, I went there probably 7-8 years ago.
Really?
And the night that we were there, you know, it was one of those places you didn't want to be down there by yourself. And nothing's ever happened to you there, huh?
No. Well, it's happened to people right with me. We were in there. There was Barb and John and Kelly and me and some other people. And the first thing that happened was the movie the camera died. And then they were smelling something like burning hot burning copper wire or something like that, that hot smell that you get. And then in pictures that were later developed, there was, you could see it, what looked like Barb was holding a burning wire. It went from her hand down
to the
ground.
It was like
the
tip of her finger down to the ground.
I mean, but I didn't smell it. They did. It wasn't me in the picture. It was somebody. It wasn't even my camera that took it. So, I don't know.
It's got to be the ghost repellent you put on ahead of time.
All right.
Just repels them all.
You know, I wanted you on for support here. And listen to what you're doing. Jeez.
She wanted you to be on her side.
I corrupt very easily.
Oh, gosh. Don't tell me this before the trip.
This is very... Going off a different tangent. Now, you corrupt very easily. Is this bad or good for your profession? Are you a demonologist? Satan's like, give up.
What?
Okay.
All right. Don't twist my arm.
Well...
Well,
I don't think we're going to go to a break.
Now, Dwayne, is there anything that Lola can do to get the experience that she's wanting, aside from, like, sacrificing a chicken over a Ouija board?
Well, we could do that later in the night. Yeah, I think that sometimes people want the experience so badly that it really just gets in your way. You know, personally, it's very rare that I go on an investigation and see something or hear something. It's more that you just kind of sense that it's there and be open to the things around you. I mean, when you start to ask for responses, you know, see if there's any type of pattern to the responses you're getting. You know, give me a sign that you hear a knock on the wall. And when you hear a tap, don't automatically dismiss it. I mean, I know that a lot of us are brought up to be skeptical, but I think skepticism can go too far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you test the theory again. Give me another knock and see what happens. I know that's a huge thing. And, you know, just realize, and you've been doing this for a long time, how many investigations do you go on and absolutely nothing seems to happen until you go back and start going through the photographs or the EVPs?
Yeah, we were talking about that right before the show, actually. But see, Lola, the only investigation, Lola didn't know any of this before she decided to stay being our producer. She doesn't have the paranormal background
or
anything. So the only investigation she's been on has been the Penn trip last year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. I misspoke that.
Well, those two have. Those guys have been doing it, but not me. I'm a virgin. And it gives me great delight to say that at this age.
And she's waiting on you to come, boy.
Don't scare him off. Jeez.
Now, have you guys played around with any of the ghost boxes before?
No.
Like the Frank's box type?
Have you? The ghost boxes, you guys, they're laughing uproariously over here.
Ghost box, is that like the one that generates the voice?
Yeah, like the Frank's box.
Yeah. There was somebody that had that last time. We weren't too...
thrilled with it.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I
think it's because they also had it at like...
They had it like...
They
right
had it all the way up to 11. And it was like, why you got these up to 10? They're like, no, these go to 11. And then they had it broadcasting throughout the entire prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so nobody else could really do any EVP.
Oh, I've never heard of it done that way before.
We had like 35.
I think they left their headsets at home or something. I don't know. But it was irritating. And they were right at like the crossroads in there, so that no matter which direction you ran off in, you could still hear this thing going on. And it really got to be irritating after a while.
Well, I've actually just started to experiment with some of those. And
he was going to bring one.
Yeah, which you're more than welcome, because, you know, I'm sure you would think about, you know, the other people, which is a very good point for those that are coming. You have to realize you're not the only person in the entire prison, and, you know, we need to kind of
Well, that's just it. I mean, and it's one of those types of things you set up in a location, and you don't need the thing blasting at 11. But it's, and you record it at the same time that you're doing it. But yeah. that's really been one of the few circumstances or instances that I've seen some real-time response from spirits.
Really?
And I'll be honest, I was skeptical. My background before all this, you know, I was in radio for God, I don't know how long. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, all this thing is doing is picking up random words off different radio stations.
And saying pre-programmed syllables. And gosh darn it, they might say a word.
I mean, it depends on what you're doing. I mean, because some of them are like, they scan through the AM frequency. There's other ones out there that operate off changes in EMF that use a chip that's pre-programmed with with words. You know, it wasn't until I went to a conference down in New Jersey that I actually got exposed to some of the real Frank's boxes, and some of the what they call shack hacks now, where I was really impressed because, you know, we're in the middle of nowhere talking to this entity supposedly, and, you know, got to ask for validation. So I say, okay, you know, say my name. And my name came out of the box. Now,
you're kidding.
You don't hear Dwayne very often on the radio.
No.
You know, and
you've been on here for like five. You've been on our show like five times.
Yeah, but it's not something you scan across the AM dial to find. And it was interesting because it gave responses back and forth, and the environment around you changed. I mean, you could just feel things around you. Of course, the things that were talking to me were nasty things, and they didn't like me. But it was just very interesting, but to say the least. You know, but a place like Moundsville, you know, I don't know what kind of access that you're going to have, but there's some really interesting places there.
We got free rein, brother.
Oh, you do?
If a door is unlocked, we're in.
The only place I don't think we can go is the Warden's quarters.
They said the roof was coming in or something like that.
Yeah, it's falling apart. But I think that's the only part that will be off limits.
Pretty much what they told us was if the door's open,
you can go
feel
in.
Free to go in.
Yep.
So I mean that's
great. You know, it's cool because there's really a mixture of different things there. I mean, there's spirits, there's good, there's bad, there's all sorts of stuff. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, I am too.
Now,
I am too.
On a demonologist's point of view, can, like, I don't know, are you going to go in there and, like, exercise the demons? Are you going to push them around, throw them around a little bit? What's your plan of attack?
Well, I tend not to want to do things like that. If things are leaving you alone, it's best to leave them alone sometimes. You know, that's not to say that, you know, if you want to try and get some sort of response, whether it's through EVP or photography or whatever we're doing, that there's not some different types of things that we can do to try and evoke a little bit of a response. So you can actually capture a little bit of evidence there. You know, because there are some areas definitely that are more, at least in my opinion, more prone to that negative activity than others.
So what way would you go about it?
Well, you know, it depends on where you are. I'm not normally one to provoke things, but you can do provocation with things.
You can nudge them a little?
You can nudge them a little bit.
See, Lola's a bit afraid of the whole provocation thing.
Well, I just don't think, really and truly, you're asking them to do you a favor more than anything else by showing themselves or giving you a sign, and they're expending a great deal of energy sometimes just to do the smallest of things. And I just think by provoking, it's rude. And I've noticed on some of these shows that people will, like, tell them lies. And I thought, you know, just because they're a spirit doesn't mean they're stupid. And I don't know. I don't think that's the way to go, is to provoke them.
Realize you're talking about two different things, too. A spirit and a demonic entity are two completely different things. Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree as far as you know, expending a whole lot of spiritual energy to give you some sort of little response. And I'm not one to go in and provoke spirit and yell and scream at them and call them names to try and evoke some sort of response. But, you know, it sometimes can be as easy with a demonic spirit to go in and start to bless a room or to
start singing Jesus Loves You.
Yeah, I mean, just things like that and provoke is really probably the wrong word to use, but it really is a provocation for them. And quite honestly, just given the fact that I'm there, is probably going to provoke enough. It's really that type of approach. And quite honestly, those entities like to make themselves known a little bit more than spirit does sometimes. Because it likes to intimidate, likes to give the fear factor, different things like that. I remember the last time that we went there, it was early in the morning by the time it happened, but we were in the courtyard, in front of where they did the hangings. And, you know, there was a scream in the middle of the night that sounded like a banshee is what it sounded like, but there was nothing around, no one around. And it was just amazing when it happened. Wow. You know, it's just a very interesting place. And, you know, we're definitely going to try and do a few different things to evoke some responses for you.
I know a lot of people are going to be wanting to go around with you, you know, just with your experience and your, you know, what you do. And I think you're going to be a popular figure, I guess, for the trip.
So we're going to be disguising you.
I'm going to put a little fake mustache on.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Cute. That'll be real cute.
You're making me sound like a ride at Disney World.
Oh, well.
You may start feeling like Goofy after a while.
No, it's my understanding we're going to do a little presentation beforehand.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, just going to talk a little bit about, you know, a little intro to demonology and hopefully open, you know, some people's eyes about different things. And, of course, they're always welcome to ask questions. And, you know, there's more times than not that somebody will ask me something that I've never been asked before. So it's always a real interesting presentation that we do.
Now, what kind of questions do people normally, because we're weird. I mean, we're you ask some weird questions. But what have you been asked before, you know, in doing these kind of presentations? What kind of stuff are people interested in?
Well, whenever everybody thinks about demonology, they automatically think about possession. A lot of the TV shows on have really kind of, how do I want to say it? They've misrepresented what goes on, and not necessarily, you know, the teams, but Hollywood changes things a little bit. There's a big difference between a possession, for instance, and influence. And a lot of times they'll call the same thing. Mm-hmm. And they'll call it a, you know, we need to go in and do an exorcism because this person's being affected. Well, a couple different things can happen. When you get a very active demonic haunting, you get an infestation of things there, it can begin to affect people. It can begin to, you know, change personalities. It can begin to affect their health. They'll seem like entities slide in, slide out, becomes a different person at times. That's not necessarily a possession. That's just something we call influence. Possession is when a demonic entity goes in and takes complete control, doesn't leave. Those circumstances are extremely, extremely rare. Hmm. Those are the ones that the Catholic Church come in and, you know, do the formal rites of exorcism. You know, that's one of the big things that I end up having to talk about with individuals is the differences between that. I'm personally not a person either that says that, you know, rock and roll and rap music bring the devil in. and I've worked with individuals before that walk into a person's house and they say, okay, that poster has to come down, that poster has to come down, throw that CD away. That's not how it works. It's really all about intention. And, you know, you can have a person listening to Marilyn Manson, for instance, enjoying the music and have nothing happen. But if you have somebody then that listens to the music but takes on the whole persona that the music identifies with, that's completely different.
Like the little emo kids?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you dive into the lifestyle and, you know, start to do those types of things, then you're talking about, you know, some different types of things that can happen. But just listening to something's not going to do it.
What have you found that is consistent with people that are being influenced? Is it like a depression that has set in beforehand, or perhaps some real problems with self-esteem and that kind of thing that kind of opens the door to allow this?
Yeah, there always seems to be some type of mental illness involved on some level. And when I say mental illness, it includes things like depression, anxiety, things like that. There also tends to be more times than not abuse issues in the past. Those tend to be the common denominators. But, you know, that's not to say that every depressed person gets demons affecting their lives. And it's just having that right person in the right place at the wrong time. You know, for instance, you know, there was a case at one point that I worked with where an individual moved into a house and there had been some sexual abuse issues in the house with prior owners. You know, there had been people that lived there for a long time after that,
mm-hmm.
never had a problem. Individual moved in who had a prior background of abuse. Suddenly it latches on because this person had an opening, a doorway in.
Kind of like being predisposed.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. You're taking an alcoholic that's recovering to a bar.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, so much of what this area of study is, it really ends up coming down to, it really comes down to intention. It really does. You know, you hear the word demonology and there's so many different connotations with it. So many people think that a demonologist is a person who studies how to summon demons and raise demons and banish them and so on. And that's really not the case. A demonologist is actually someone who studies how they work, how they influence mankind. For the most part, demonologists do not necessarily go in and do exorcisms by any means. They may go in and do house blessings or help with deliverances. One thing that I find extremely interesting too is demonology is actually a Christian term. There's no other religion per se that has the study of demonology. And I actually just discovered this in some recent research. Demonology was actually founded back around 590 AD. And it was at the time where the Catholic Church was trying to gather a foothold in the world. And what they were basically doing was, at the time, going and naming off all these negative traits that they didn't like about individuals, for lack of a better term, you know, greed, lust, anger, fear, all those types of things. Then they went back, assigned demons to all of them.
So it's kind of a made up.
It really is.
Type of thing, like the demon names are just made up.
Yeah, they are in many ways. And what ended up happening after that was they began to try and convert individuals. Well, back at, you know, 590 AD, the most prominent faith belief system at the time was paganism.
Yeah.
So you begin to convert old world pagans by convincing them that the rituals that they do for their own religious beliefs are evil. You know, so suddenly you've got a lot of misinformation going around.
They
probably
use the names of their gods as the demons too.
Yeah, yeah, and that's, you know, you start to think about the pentagram. You know, pentagrams begins to be seen as evil, where it really isn't. You know, so, I mean, all these different things come into play, but I find that it's very interesting that really the Christian belief system, and specifically Catholic, are the only ones that have demons per se. If you look at any other type of system or religion, they may have good and evil spirits, or they may just have spirits that can go either way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all based on intention. So it's, I know I got way off on a tangent, but I mean,
that's cool.
It's just a real interesting way to look at it. And, you know, that's one of the questions that I get asked a lot, is about those types of things. Plus, you know, why is it that Christians are the only ones that ever seem to be? Well, that's kind of your answer. Is they're really the only ones that acknowledge them.
Now, you said that demonologists don't usually do exorcisms, but you've been involved with a few, haven't you?
I've been involved with deliverances. Okay. I've not been involved with
the Catholic rites.
A Catholic rite of exorcism. I have been involved with people who have been heavily under the influence of demonic powers, where it's more like a partial type possession. When I talk about full possession, you know, you're thinking along something along the lines of like The Exorcist or The Exorcism of Emily Rose, where it's an individual who is in that thralls in a continuous state, as opposed to
in and out.
In and out, you know, being able to live part of their life during the day and being fine, but then other parts of the day, something just jumping in and taking over. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
That's why when they say possession is extremely rare, well, those extreme cases of possession.
It's how you classify it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, we've talked about some of your cases before, you know, with people throwing couches and, you know, little boys throwing chairs and couches and, you know, in that type of situation, I mean, I would say, oh, that person's possessed, because why would a little boy be able to pick up a couch, you know?
Right.
But,
well, you know, it's interesting because when you start to talk about some of the signs that you look for, I mean, there's lots of different signs you look for when you look for possession, you know, superhuman strength, knowledge beyond what they should know, you know, different signs on the body that appear, scratches, things like that. One of the things that happens in demonology is that, according to that study, a demon can't do anything outside the natural world. So in other words, a demon has laws that it has to live by. It can't take an individual and give them powers beyond superhuman strength, beyond anything else. But what they can do is it can go in and overstimulate the adrenaline glands. So what it's doing is actually increasing the adrenaline in the body to provide that strength.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've heard of stories of, you know, like a jack breaks on a car, and the mom or the wife runs out and literally can pick that car up enough to get whoever's trapped underneath out, because their adrenaline is kicked in so much that, you know, you use every ounce of strength that you possibly your body can muster that you couldn't do any other time except under times of extreme fear or worry or, you know, stress, something like that.
You know, that's kind of where things become difficult for a lot of people is seeing that what happens isn't necessarily supernatural. It's within the realm of natural. It's just altered a little bit. One of the big philosophers for demonology was Rio del Toro. He was actually a priest from the 15th or 16th century.
Uh-huh.
And he talks about moving objects, you know, when objects seem to disappear and reappear. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're actually disappearing and remanifesting someplace else, like a teleportation. What can actually happen is they're being moved so quickly the human eye doesn't see them.
Huh.
You know,
say that again.
In other words, instead of something like Star Trek, where something dematerializes one place, rematerializes someplace else, what happens is when objects move, it actually stays within the laws of nature. But what's happening is the object is just being moved so quickly from one location to another that the human eye can't see it.
So it would be like next to me 1 second, and then on the other side of me the other.
Yeah. That, I mean,
without
me. Yeah. That's kind of the way.
I got to dumb it up for my brain to understand. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I mean, there's, like I said, there's lots of different theories about how all this stuff works, but, you know, that's really where, when you do presentations like this, it's really kind of nice because you actually get the chance to talk with people and answer questions, and, you know, especially throughout the night, you know, if people are with me or want to chat, you know, it's always an opportunity and it's always a lot of fun.
Now, are you coming by yourself? You bringing anybody else with you?
I think I might be coming by myself. But
you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Okay.
You trailed off, and
you
sometimes
said a butt, and I was like, okay.
No, I believe I'm coming up by myself. But now you're going to have Herb Street there as well. Is that?
Oh yeah, we sure are.
He's actually kind of close. Lives close to you, I believe.
Yeah, he's probably about within an hour of me. Great guy. Talked to him a few times. Haven't really met him, so this will be a really good opportunity.
Making friends the Whispers Radio way. We got a phone call. Hello?
Yeah, this is John.
John, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Nothing.
And nothing. I have a question. I'm not sure. I don't know if anybody's ever postulated the theory of spirits being the leftover result of somebody that has like a multiple personality.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Dwayne?
You know, that's interesting. I guess it's always been my belief that the way that you are in life is the way that you are in death. You know, so if some of these asylums, for instance, you know, you get some of these spirits in there that aren't quite right, that may be senile, that may be having still different types of mental disorders. So I could absolutely see how that could happen. You know, that kind of leads to where we begin to test, okay, is this actually a spirit or a demon through some of the different provocations that we do, whether it's through holy objects or whether it's looking at some of the different things that are going on. For instance, you know, started looking at the haunting itself for smells and repetitions of certain things. And one of the big things with a demonic haunt versus a spirit haunt is there's always a point of invitation where it's invited in. You know, was there magic done or a Ouija board or anything like that? Or is it just simply someone died?
You know what, man?
I think it's possible somebody could pass, you know, and remain.
You could think that you're being haunted by like several spirits, but it could just be one like really crazy guy.
If you'd like to make a call.
Oh, thanks, John.
John hung up, obviously.
Wow.
Thanks for your call, John.
Yeah. You know,
hopefully that answered your question.
Like I said, there's always a question I've never been asked.
Yeah, that one, I've never, my brain didn't even wrap around that until just now. But I guess I guess it's possible. Anything's possible.
Now, you've talked a lot about mental, you know, people that have a mental disorder or so forth. And then also at the same time, you have people that are possessed. Now, how do you distinguish between the two? Because to me, you know, to somebody, especially, you know, layman, you know, if you look at some, I guess, symptoms of demon possession that at least, you know, popular culture, you know, would throw out there, you know, hearing voices and stuff like that. I mean, and I think you kind of also walk a thin line between, you know, you don't want to say somebody's possessed, but they're really just
mentally ill.
Yeah,
truly
mentally ill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's absolutely true. I mean, if you look at possession, it really mimics a lot of the signs of schizophrenia. I mean, the multiple personalities, the hearing voices, seeing hallucinations, all sorts of things like that. So you really do have to be careful. A lot of times when I'm working with an individual, I'll make sure that they go through a mental health counselor as well, a psychologist, to rule out any type of multiple personality disorder.
Now, what happens if the psychologist says, you know, I think there's something going on with their brain?
Well, you know, there's always a possibility of that, especially with medicine, because they don't always want to say that there's something spiritual going on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that makes them uncomfortable. that doesn't necessarily completely rule it out, because then you also begin to look at the history of what's gone on with this individual. You know, did something happen that could bring this entity into their life? What types of signs are going on around them that could lead it to it being a demonic haunting? One of the interesting things is I use hypnosis a lot with individuals. When you put an individual into a hypnotic state, if they are schizophrenic, their mind becomes completely disorganized.
Hmm.
But if there's a possession going on, their mind becomes completely focused. So it kind of shows you a little difference there with mental illness. Some of the other things that you tend to do with people who are possessed is you do certain tests. You know, one is you may take a holy object that's been blessed by a priest or a bishop, mm-hmm. and you may just walk up and put your hand on the back of the individual with the object in your hand closed so they don't know it's there, and see what type of reaction that you get. And many times if there's a negative energy there, you'll get some sort of reaction from the individual. You know, whether they push you away, they become very irritated, different things like that.
That would creep me out if I touched somebody with a cross and they like started freaking out.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. If you'd ever just say you're at a party, and you know you are introduced to someone, and all of a sudden you get that feeling or you know whatever it is, has that ever happened to you?
Well, not in that casual type conversation.
I just figured you'd throw him down right there and kick it out.
In the name of... No.
No, but, you know, there have been times where you may meet someone, or maybe you're walking down the street, and that individual will just kind of look at you in a certain way where... It's strange to describe, but when you look at an individual who has something going on spiritually with them, it's very much like looking into nothing. Like there's no soul behind the eyes.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's very strange to explain. Plus there's just this energy about them, this heavy energy.
My wife tells this story about when she was, I think, early teenager. They were traveling through Ohio, and I'm pretty sure it was through Ohio, going on the interstate somewhere, and she looks back in the car behind them, the guy's driving the car, and she said it's like he had both hands on the wheel, but he was shaking back and forth, like, violently. And she said it wasn't like he was, you know, rocking his body or anything, just that he was, she said, almost like a shadow that was just... I don't know, not in focus. I don't know what the best way to describe it. Like, you know, almost like, just that he was just vibrating, more or less. And, you know, she said it just scared her half to death. And you know, and her mom saw it too. She told her mom, and her mom looked back and saw it, you know, and then the guy, you know, took an exit. And she swears up and down that person was, that's the only time she'd ever seen somebody that was really, this, like, she knew was possessed. And I, you know, I don't know if you've ever had anything like that happen, but or
you know,
heard
of
anything like that.
I haven't, but I've heard of things like that. It's interesting because there seems to be a lot of cases that do come out of Ohio, and I'm not really sure why.
I can tell you why.
I've lived there.
We're really close to it. You might not want to go over the river.
Jeez.
And that's when we start getting calls from Ohio. What are you saying?
At least we get phone calls, right?
Yeah, that's
at
true.
Least we know they're listening. Hey, Dwayne, I hate to do it to you, but we are out of time.
All right.
Hours have gone by so quickly.
Well, go ahead.
I'm really looking forward to this coming event, so it'll be a lot of fun.
June 30th, everybody, if you want to spend some time with Dwayne Claude, get to whispersradio.com, buy your ticket, and get there. We're going to have an awesome time. More of what you heard today. He'll give us some deep, dark secrets into his brain. And you know.
Call us. Let us know when you're coming, too. That way we can kind of meet with you and everything beforehand. So.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
Dwayne, thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Okay.
See you, Dwayne.
Bye-bye.
He sounded sad to leave.
Yeah.
Everybody sounds sad to leave Whispers Radio.
After the 30th. You won't see him. He'll be moving so fast. Yowie, get me out of here.
Okay, every time we call, I'm like, why do you? I can't get on the show anymore.
That's our luck. I'm looking forward to this. I am.
Oh,
this is going to be
so
much fun.
I think so.
The closer and closer, like, I was down about it until, like, last week. You know, I was just like, it's an event I got to plan for. But now it's like,
gotta
here
show
comes.
Up. I got to wash my clothes.
Well, I'm in the same boat everybody else. I got to be up at work at 6 o'clock in the morning Thursday. So I'm with you.
You'll
I'm there.
Fine.
I will be fine. This is going to be awesome.
In it.
Hello. All right. It is now time for some CNN news. You're listening to Whispers Radio on WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Whispers Radio on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. It is 7:08 p.m., 69 degrees here in downtown Wheeling. Give us a call, 304-214-1600 if you're out of the area, 1-866-514-1600. I'm Jordan Klein, he's Nick Queen, and she is the lovely Lola Miller.
It certainly seems warmer than 69 degrees, don't you think?
I don't know, what do you got?
Mine says 78.
My car said 95
on my way home. What did I say?
68.
69. Oh, I meant 79.
Oh, we see.
Let's see, my brain thought one thing.
Your mouth did another.
My eyes say another.
That's your biggest problem.
I know.
We can never fix you of that.
I thought it was supposed to rain, too. They kept saying...
Well, we were supposed to get thunderstorms all day.
I know. And certainly hasn't done that.
It's actually really clear. We're on the radar here.
Yes, it is. Good. Good, good, good.
Heck, I thought it was going to rain. We were out Monday. We cooked out at my house and... We went out down to Bridgeport and back, and thunder and lightning and everything, nothing ever came.
No, I know. I could hear the thunder, so we rounded up the zoo and brought them all in. They weren't happy, and then it never did rain.
I could hear the thunder. You should write that rock song.
Uh-huh. Took my dog down to the river. Cannot keep that dogger out of water. She went crazy, and I don't have to worry about her being overweight either. When she's soaking wet, she's the skinniest little thing. But, oh, my gosh, she was diving in under the water, just diving in. Had such a ball. But now she kind of smells bad. So I got to give her a bath. But, yeah, it was a beautiful weekend, really beautiful weekend. Got all the yard work done. Started scraping the outside of the house.
Scraping?
Paint. Yes, I'm going to paint. I'd like to change the whole color theme. It's because the house is yellow siding.
Yeah. Well, can you do that? Because you just rent.
Well, I'm going to ask her. It's the paint has to be purchased. The problem is I've got that little scroll work and stuff up really high. And what I thought, right now it's like a dark gray, a light gray, and white. I'd like to go a deep forest green. Mm. And then for all the real small trim work, the accents use like a muted orange, I think would look so cool.
That would look pretty good.
That's what I think too. I don't see that she'd have a problem with it, you know.
My house, I wanna power wash it and paint it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 2-car garage with a little apartment on top, so it's not gonna take long. Anybody out there that wants to help me do that,
power
by all means, give us a call because she needs scrubbed and she needs painted.
There's a company around here that does that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, why pay somebody? I can
do it
myself.
That's true.
One person can probably do the whole thing in a day. I mean, it's not... Donnie, it could probably fit in the studio.
My problem is getting between the two houses. I'm going to call this. Everybody in the neighborhood's been calling the city about that house next door. It literally looks like you can't even see the porch for all the vine growing on it. And it is now grown clear up to the top. So it's like three stories high. And it's a mess. Broken windows. And
well, now everybody knows where you live.
Everybody knew anyway. But it's just, you know, it's just sad. I mean, it makes the whole street look
crappy.
Yeah. And boy, if I didn't have anything on the south side of the house, there's no windows there. Oh, there's one. But it would just be so much nicer. Everything gets kind of damp and mossy, or, you know, whatever that fungus is that grows on stuff.
Some black mold.
And get rid of that tree in the backyard. That's what cuts down on my XM service, because that's the way the antenna has to face in that tree.
Stupid trees.
I know.
Living all big and strong and giving us oxygen. Darn him.
Oh, it's a garbage tree. It's not like it's a pretty maple
tree?
Or anything.
It's
a
mighty oak.
So what would...
Probably a mulberry or something. That's what I have in front, too, are three smaller... Well, they look like shrubs, but they're mulberries. And that's what Mr. Beckett refers to them as, my garbage trees.
So. We'll assume you're getting calls from the American Mulberry Association.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Greeny
will call. And
so did you buy the K2 yet? Are you getting a K2?
I'd like to.
Have you been looking?
$69 is the cheapest I've found it.
Did you look on eBay?
I think that's where I saw it at.
Oh, really?
But there's some other ghost hunters website too, but they were really expensive. And they'll sell you this whole kit. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. It's got like a thermometer in it and a K2 and two other things. I don't know.
For like $300?
Not even. So I'm thinking, well, nothing could be very
high class.
Yeah, if it's that inexpensive.
Well, there's a lot of investigators that listen to the show. So if you're out there and you're listening and you say, I have something I'll sell Lola for her awesome experience.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't have to have brand new. You know, I would gladly.
Or borrow. Jeez.
I'd love to borrow a FLIR.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my dream, is to have one of those.
Anybody has one of them laying around.
Yeah. If you're not using it on the 30th, just loan it to me.
Any fire departments in the area have a used one? Yeah, you know.
They have them? Fire departments do?
5752. I found one on here.
Yeah, still
50. That's brand new. So.
Yeah,
on
thermal.
eBay?
Amazon.
Oh.
Yeah, thermal imaging is used at the fire department to check hotspots.
Well, there we go.
We'll
see if
anybody... I had a night vision thing last time.
Did you?
Yes. That I borrowed.
Some goggles.
No, it wasn't goggles. It was like a telescope, I think. Yeah.
Anybody out there wants to give Lola an experience? Well, let me rephrase that.
Yes, please.
She likes cowboy boots.
Or no. Dwayne's probably going, I am not going there for anything. These people are fooling themselves. Oh, my. All right, let me
at
get her.
At least we know why he didn't show up.
Yeah.
It won't be a mystery.
He'll send us a telepathic message.
No, Beauregard's calling him now to shoo him away.
You know, where has Beauregard been?
He
disappeared. I think we lost him when we switched from Monday to Tuesday.
In jail for stalking. He still listens on Mondays.
They sound different now. I don't. I'm going to have to listen on Monday to see what's there. Some weird show. He's on there. Lola. I'm sorry.
You are out of it today.
I am. It has been because and if everybody, you know, probably the listens earlier. Probably wondering, you know, they had no promo at all. I honestly thought the day was Monday.
Nick had the whole week off. Well, he has the whole week off.
If anybody has a job out there, Lola wants a K2 meter.
Nick wants to buy it
I
for
just
it.
Work.
And he'll work for it. Oh, no. A bird just flew into the side of the building.
Yeah, Lola saw a bird fly into the...
Lola's poor little heart's broken.
Did it live, or?
Well,
there went a bird. This is compelling radio. But anyways, no, I never did. I didn't send the promo. I honestly thought today was Monday. It messed up my entire week having. This was like a slow weekend for me and Lisa. Lisa was off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and I was off from Friday on. And so she goes to work on that, you know, yesterday morning, and I normally don't work on Monday. So I don't know. So looks like Herb didn't answer.
He heard the Dwayne Claude interview.
It's not surprising. Leave a message. I called him earlier, and he's like, "Oh, I'm ready, and I'm stoked." He actually sent
I hope that whatever
video and everything
that I called and left a message on.
Yeah,
he
the
does
one
not
that I have.
Use that one because
I will email him
it
right
was
now.
Breaking up something terrible. So was I hope
it?
He doesn't use that phone.
Let me make sure. I'm gonna walk over there. Jordan, can you entertain the? Just to make sure that she.
Now, seriously, folks, we need to sell some Penn tickets. Because here's why. It's going to be amazing, and the countdown has begun. We got, what, 30 days? 30 days until the greatest night of most of your lives? I know, I went there. It's going to be great. Go to whispersradio.com. $65. Not bad considering everything you're getting. Most of the regular Penn nights that they host are 60. So $5 more, you get two presenters coming in from New York. You get a t-shirt and you get Lola.
Yeah.
And who doesn't want a Lola, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't
think of anybody. You didn't mention us.
I want to bring people in, Nick.
We will not be there.
And it'll be a relatively small group. It's not like we're going to be tripping over each other or anything like that. It's going to be a relatively small group, so we won't be hearing.
It's going to be a really small group of people to start.
Paula, you need to call me. Because we have not heard from Paula.
She called and she was going to come. And
I know, but I meant... coming in here and dropping
correct
out.
Paula, where are you? There was also was it Drage?
Yep, Drage.
His wife is going to be making our t-shirts.
Oh,
we'll have to show good. You the show you that because it was an awesome design, very nice design. And that was, by the way, that was our winner for the you didn't even announce that. I guess you just did.
I guess you just did. I was going to wait till later, but go ahead.
You just said she was designing our t-shirts.
Well, I said she was making them.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, it was her design. What does it look like now that y'all have blown the whole surprise thing out of the water?
Ba-doom-cha. Mm-hmm. Talk about it, Nikki.
Well, and I don't have the design in front of me, but it's... it's got a nice...
the surprise.
I'm just saying it's got a nice, nice kind of gothic shadow view of the pen. You know, kind of like it's like a dark night. It's going to have WKKX on one sleeve, UPRN on the other sleeve. And I cannot remember. Was there anything on the back? I can't remember if there was anything on the back.
You're the
but
one.
I like the front. I really did like the front. So.
Well, yeah, who cares what's on the back? You can't look at it.
Exactly.
Nick.
I would try.
Nick broke the surprise with, like, no backup to it.
It's like, can we rewind?
It's like if we were talking about the movie Titanic, it sinks, and then he walks away. There's, like, nothing.
Uh-huh. Anybody watching the Stanley dies. Cup Finals?
I quit after the Pens.
No. I'm watching them. I want the Flyers to win. Oh, I do. If everybody else is just throwing it out there and stopping, that's my response.
Yeah.
To it all. Mm-hmm.
Flyers.
Yeah. Flyers in seven. The Hossa curse. That'll be the third time he's switched teams to win a Stanley Cup and doesn't.
Really? Let's cut to a commercial and try to get Herb on the phone. If that's a possibility.
Okay,
I've sent emails, and so if somebody knows him out there, tell him to call us.
You're listening to Whispers Radio. Hopefully we have a show in a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
And now back to Whispers, brought to you by West Virginia Penitentiary Tours.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Whispers Radio on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPR and the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. It is 7:27 p.m., 79 degrees. Get it right.
Under clear blue skies.
It's pretty outside. Enjoy it while it lasts. It's supposed to, well, it's supposed to rain today, but it's going to rain tomorrow or the next day or the next day.
Well, we could get some rain in the future.
One day it'll rain.
Yeah.
Just call me Ashley Dougherty. It's gonna it's gonna rain.
Now Ashley,
yes, I will.
Is out of everybody, I think Ashley does the best job.
I really do. That's why I used her name. I was giving a little wink.
Winky.
I was winking at her.
Winky, Ashley.
Give us a call at 304-214-1600 if you're out of the area. 1-866-514-1600 if you're out there and you're walking around, and you're saying, I wonder what's going on with the guest that's supposed to be on Whispers tonight. Then you see him walking on the street, give him a little nudge and say, hey, you're missing the phone call, buddy.
Yeah, aren't you supposed to be on the air as we speak?
Dumb girl.
Hopefully nothing happened. I'm figuring that because, like I said, I talked to Herb earlier. He was all excited about coming on the air. Maybe he fell asleep or...
Oh,
hopefully nothing bad
like
happened.
That one's going to work with me.
That's not a good excuse, Nick. Oh, I was going to be on your show.
Yeah,
but,
I was so excited. I fell asleep.
I'm sorry.
I want to go out with you tonight, but I got to iron
my
socks.
Hair. Yeah.
My socks burned. Anyways,
there's
all kinds of stuff we can talk about. Of course, you know, earlier we were talking about, let's go to the Stanley Hotel and have fun. It was $169. I say we pull our money together, I mean, because we make millions. I mean, Lola's, you know, got easily this much in her pocketbook right now.
Oh, absolutely.
$1.15 million, and you know what that'll get you, Jordan?
Where at?
The Amityville Horror House.
For what, one night?
No, that's the house.
To buy it.
You can own the spacious, let me see here.
You don't mind repainting every other day. You know.
If you don't mind living in a house where an entire family was murdered.
All right, so I mean, and then they've actually got the ad, which I found very weird. This is the ad that was in the house before the DeFeo or Mr. and Mrs. Lutz bought it.
Yeah.
This is after the DeFeo murders, and they're like, oh, this looks like a nice. So Amityville Riverfront, spacious and gracious, executive colonial center hall, large living room, fireplace, French doors, covered patio, formal dining room, kitchen with sunny breakfast nook and service area, den, 4 bedrooms, 3 baths, garage, tree, 2/3 acres, bulkheaded boathouse. It says in the 90s. It's 90,000.
Satan in the basement, and you may need new carpeting.
Yeah, blood that periodically pours down the walls. And don't forget the black fly infestations. Those are always fun.
Don't forget to get
it's
your house
better
blessed.
Than those one bugs that come in, the Japanese beetles. Oh, I hate those things. They smell. They're horrible.
Ladybugs.
You're not supposed to squish them. That's when they smell,
They land on me and I...
You take them outside and let them go.
You sound like my wife. My wife's like Snow White. Come here, wasp. And she'll try to grab the wasp and carry it outside. I mean, it's going to sting you one day and she's going to kill it. But she does it with everything. It's like spiders. She'll try to get them on a piece of paper and carry them outside.
That's taking it a step too far.
Yeah, I tell you.
Those things jump. They scrabble up you and they... Ugh.
And they try to eat you.
Yes.
Freaking spiders.
Ugh.
But yeah, I mean, it does say here the ghosts are not included. So.
Does it?
Yeah, like you got any choice in that one.
Yeah, I like the title, Amityville, because this is from the UK. Amityville Horror House goes on sale for £800,000, but could you spend the night there? Jordan, I mean, honestly, do you think, that, you know, if, with all this stuff happening...
Could I spend the night
could
there?
Could you spend the night there sleeping?
You're sleeping,
you're scared
to
go outside because you're afraid the aliens are going to see you.
Here's the thing. I've lived in houses that have had things going on.
Mm-hmm.
Could I stay there? Could I stay the night? I could. I don't know if I would rest peacefully.
Uh-huh.
Because my brain would be playing like a million and a half tricks with me. Like, what was that, the movie Paranormal Activity? I think I was up quite often that night.
Really?
After watching it. Yeah.
It didn't scare me.
That's because you're soulless.
I am. I honestly, we went to watch the movie, and the most interesting thing to me was these people that were behind me. And there were these two women and this guy, and the guy was kind of like your mother, well, his stepmother, her dad has this kind of like offish kind of, oh, I've seen, you know, that kind of, you know, and he's sitting there, oh, that ain't scary. And this the woman that came with him is an older woman. There's a part in the movie where, you know, something happens that makes you jump. She throws her arms up. She's sitting there. She throws her arm up and slaps both of the people on either side of her. She's, oh, God, and slaps him, and he could not stop laughing. So, you know, like the highest climax of the movie, everybody in the theater's laughing at it, you know, and my Uncle Barry, which I went with, which Jordan's dad, just keeps looking over there at me like, because he knew what parts of the movie were coming that were going to be scary. And so all of a sudden, I'd see out of the corner of my eye, his head would poke around and turn my way. And I'm like, oh, something's coming. So I could brace myself a little bit. I was like, oh, that's nice. And he'd stay looking at me and like other people that were, you know, we all knew it was coming. So it never, and he's, I can't believe you guys didn't jump at that.
Yeah. Well, see, here's my, like, the demon thing has always got to me, you know, yeah. Like, I can watch any horror movie, I you know, in the world, you know, I love them,
uh-huh.
But the demon thing has always kind of got to me. Now, with the possessions and stuff like that, like, The Exorcist still kind of creeps me out, but the thought that something messing with you while you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm laying in my bed, and I'm, like, going to sleep, and if I got, like, my foot hanging out of the blanket a little bit, I consciously tuck my foot back in because what if while I'm sleeping something grabs a hold of my foot and pulls me out of bed?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. I know, right? Lola's eyes are getting all big. I'm
well, here's the kind of thing.
There's some crazy stuff going on in this brain, Lo.
Why I never have had an experience, because my mind isn't that
screwed up.
Well.
Could you stay at that place, Lo?
Yeah, I'd go in if I had,
No, could you stay there? Not just go in.
Well, for the night, yeah.
Sleep there, though? I mean, we could all make it through an investigation.
You're not, nobody in this stuff is going to be able to sleep well in there because of what we already know. Now, if you just took me to a house and said, oh, we're spending the night here with my friends, then, yeah, I probably would, not knowing anything about the house, but the preconceived notions that you already have about the house would, like you said, play tricks with you.
Yeah.
You know, so could I sleep at the Pen? Probably not, just because I know what is supposed to be there.
Yeah. Now, here's some of the things that happened, and some of the things I didn't realize. It says George, which talking about George Lutz, he would wake up around 3:15 every morning and would go out to check the boathouse. Later, he'd learn that this was the estimated time of the DeFeo killings. So, you know, he'd wake up every night and go do that. So Jordan would be up every night, 3:15, checking the boathouse.
So just my clock said 3:15, I'd go nuts.
It says Kathy discovered a small hidden room around 4 feet by 5 feet behind shelving in the basement. The walls were painted red, and the room did not appear in the blueprints of the house. The room came to be known as the Red Room, and it had a profound effect on their dog, Harry, who refused to go near it and cowered as if sensing something negative.
Like my dog does with the bathroom here. I mean, I can't get her to go in there.
That's just after Jordan's been there.
Well.
They cold spots and cold spots and odors of perfume and excrement in areas of the house with no wind drafts or piping to explain the sources. This is awesome. While tending the fire, George and Kathy saw the image of a demon with with half his head blown out. It was burned into soot in the back of the fireplace.
Now that's called, I just learned this on something, matrixing or something. It's where that's what your mind puts to it, because the markings are all there and you've got to make sense out of what it could possibly.
Your brain does it kind of automatically.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of people see the faces in orbs. You know, when they say, yeah. Oh my gosh, there's a face. It's no, your brain's trying to.
Or, you know, the Virgin Mary piece of French toast.
No, you know? That I believe.
Do ya? No, I got some. I'll sell you tomorrow.
You got some Doritos that look like Barack Obama. I mean, I can sell them. Sorry. Nick, would you stay there?
No, he would not.
You're
chicken.
You couldn't get him to walk through the door.
I would go there to do the investigation, maybe, but I would not stay there.
You.
Well, you have to stay there if you're doing the
investigation. No, I wouldn't. I'm talking about there's a difference between going to a place and pulling your back your cover and going in and going to sleep. I mean, I don't know if I could stay at my house if I knew something bad had happened there. It's just I'm one of those people that I can't say I'm psychic or anything, but you know, you can feel the feeling of a place, you know, and you don't feel comfortable. Like my wife said, she was never felt at home in the apartment that we lived in before we moved to where we're at now. Now she says she feels like she can come home and relax and it feels home.
Well,
I don't think this place could ever feel home. I mean, I was looking at another one to hear. George would hear what was described as a German marching band tuning up. I just don't want that at my house.
Well, I believe that houses hold residual energy. Because there was, I lived in a 3-family flat one time. And we lived in the front apartment, and it was like we were always fighting. Nothing good ever happened. And then the people behind us moved out, and so we're in the same building, but in a different apartment. And our life just it immediately calmed down. Things were better. And then I found out all the stuff about the couple that had lived in the front apartment before us. There were domestic violence reports and all kinds of, and it's like that bad energy stayed there and affected, and we knew nothing at all about any of that until after we had moved into the back apartment.
Yeah.
And so I believe that, you know, houses do hold, buildings hold the energy that is left behind.
I know we lived in a house once. Man, how old was I? I was young. I was probably maybe 11, 12 years old, if that. And the guy who lived there previously had hung himself in the basement. And
did they tell you that before you moved in?
No.
Okay.
They never did.
No, I had to ask.
We'll take it. And, you know, we're living there. And, you know, every now and then you'd hear like a ball bouncing, like a basketball bouncing in the basement, you know, and it would be the middle of the night. It was just, you know, me and my older brother were just, you know, we were just little kids, and it was just my mom. And you just hear the basketball bouncing in the basement. You know, we'd hear sounds like it's raining outside, and we open the window and it's clear day. You know, just crazy stuff like that. Well, start looking into it. The guy, what was he doing? I think he was fighting cancer or something like that. And when he was hurting, he would go downstairs and he would bounce a basketball. And that's something he always did. And then he hung himself in the basement.
Oh, my God.
So here we were.
Probably
we were always
on a rainy
hearing,
day.
And we were always hearing, you know, a basketball going. Yeah. And none of us knew that beforehand. You know, it was, you know, after being there a while that we found out, which was totally crazy.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. The plot thickens.
See, now, here's the last thing I'll mention about this that I thought was weird was, George saw Kathy transform into an old woman of 90, the hair wild, a shocking white, the face a mass of wrinkles and ugly lines, and saliva dripping from the toothless mouth. I like the description.
What
year was this in?
76.
In the 70s. Jeez, wonder what they were doing.
I missed that.
You want me to read it again?
Yeah, I missed that.
George saw Kathy, which is his wife, transform into an old woman of 90, and then it's parentheses, just so, the hair wild, a shocking white, the face a mass of wrinkles and ugly lines, the saliva dripping from the toothless mouth.
I think every man saw his wife that way.
I did not say that. That was Jordan Klein.
Yeah, any male you have, direct it toward.
Yeah. Jordan at whispersradio.com. So Well, and Jordan, we'll move off from this. Last week, we talked about Lost a lot.
Yes.
Now, the day after that, I go home, and I've told you before, and I think, Lola, you would love the website. It's io9.com, one of my favorite blogs to read. It's focused on science fiction. They go into a little bit of fantasy and stuff, but they talk a lot about the TV shows, movies, and books, and other weird stuff. They have, and it's io9's 50 questions Lost really does need to answer. They put these questions on before I missed that, but now they came on after the finale and said, okay, here's what they answered, here's what they didn't answer.
Okay.
Now, some of these, of course, are kind of tongue-in-cheek kind of questions, uh-huh. but I'll try to skip those a little bit. But questions that they didn't answer, and it was really surprising how many they didn't answer of the 50. I mean,
there's a lot.
Yeah. So... the first one here. So the island is the place with the glowy light that's inside all of us. Does this mean the island's alive? People talk about what the island wants. What do they mean? Is the island Awa, which is from Avatar, the planet is alive. So is the island alive? And, and really, if you think about it, they did put kind of this persona on the island. And
the
really
island
didn't...
wants me here. The island is calling us back. The island is.
So what do you think? Was the island alive? Just kind of the consensus. I think in a way it was. That's my response to it. They never answered that, but I think that's the way I always thought about the island.
Yeah, I always kind of gave it some type of spiritual energy.
It had its own will.
Yeah.
Well, whether or not you consider it alive, it was like the main character.
Mm-hmm.
In the whole story.
Yeah, and that's what last week you said Jack was the main character, and the more I thought about it, I really didn't think it was. The island really was it. I mean,
when you start saying the island was the main character, now you're thinking metaphysically. Yeah. Physically,
it's
Jack
the focus
was.
Of
it
the
was
show.
About
yeah.
Jack. It was yeah. about Jack. Okay, what's question number
All right.
two?
How come the island heals people, and why does it heal them selectively? And that was one that I didn't think about until after I read this list. And
John get better?
Yeah, why did John get better? Why did and I can't remember her name, but the black lady, she had cancer. She got better.
Rose.
But some people didn't get better.
Well, some people died.
Some people died.
Because there were... The only thing I can think of is that, John Locke was healed because... It was part of his journey. And the same
like
with
was,
Rose.
It, he had, well, see, Rose wasn't even a candidate.
Yeah.
Was she?
No.
Because they went off on their own, to do whatever, and they were never mentioned again as candidates.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see them at the end. I was like, wait a second, what the heck are they doing?
Oh, I know. And how long it'd be... The time, there must... Well, we know from one episode, and it was when... Daniel Faraday. So was that season 3 or 4? Remember they did that experiment with a rocket. And there was a big gap in the time that lapsed on the island and the time it took that rocket to get there, even though he had figured it out. There was a time gap there so that I don't remember if time was slower on the island or faster, but there was definitely a thing. But with Rose and Bernard, they were there in, were they there in 70s?
Yeah, because they
said. Yeah, because they said they'd been there forever.
They said they built it on the last jump, which was in the 70s, because he asked how long they had been there. But they didn't age.
Good point.
Nobody on the island aged. Well, now, that brings you back to the whole thing that Richard said, that they're in purgatory, that, the island was purgatory.
It's weird.
It's one of those things that,
you'll go in loops forever thinking about it.
Well, I think what caused so many loops, and like Lola said last week, that's on season 3, they just started throwing out every wild idea they could because they had no idea what direction they were going.
Which brings us to the next one.
Okay.
Why did season 4 and 5
exist?
I liked season. Okay, never mind. Jacob told Alfred some previous visitors to the island had built that Tawaret statue.
Mm-hmm.
Did he tell them to build it? Why Tawaret? Or hopefully I'm saying the name right. Now, for those that don't know, that's the statue you say the foot of. During one of their jumps back, you actually see what it is.
The whole thing.
Yeah. And which it is pretty much a statue of a, it's a Egyptian goddess of childbirth and fertility. Its head is a hippo.
Well, probably because they were having problems with babies being born on the island.
Which brings
us to
that's another answer question. Why was there problems with people having children on the island?
Because
but they could in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Babies were born in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Daniel was born. Charlotte was born.
But there's kind of an unanswered question of why they didn't. I mean, you know, they kind of didn't.
Well, kind of, because if the ancients had to build a giant statue of fertility, they had to do it for a reason. They wouldn't have just built it.
They did all that. Look at the pyramids and everything. I mean, that was all just to cross over some rich people. It could be that by tapping into that electromagnetic force that did it or did it not, did the bomb explode and stop it or what, because of the electromagnetic force, women couldn't carry to term.
Yeah, and that's probably. Well, I mean, and that's, you know, it's one of those weird things.
That's the one of the things that I've learned from watching, you know, all these ghosty shows, about how electromagnetic energy really does physically influence you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you feel bad, you feel heavy.
It does mess with childbirth.
See, so, you know, that
but
could
be. But now, it was selective, though. It was only people that were impregnated on the island, such as Claire. You know, she was able to come and, you know,
well, she had Adam.
Yeah, she had Aaron.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she was able to come and actually have the baby, whereas people that were, you know, impregnated there weren't able to have their kids.
Well,
so
but
it was
with
a little
Claire,
different.
She was almost to term.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wouldn't have. I don't think that would have really.
Here's one I got.
Messed with her.
Here's one I got.
Okay.
See if your little listies got this one.
All right. All
the right. Temple. Was that a temple to Jacob?
And I didn't see that on here, but that is a good question. I thought that was separate from
see, because I thought they were using Jacob kind of as the religion there for a good chunk of the show.
Now, see, when you say it like that, it would be like they were worshiping Jacob. I never got that impression.
Because the followers of Jacob had a temple? You know, I don't know. I always thought that Jacob was the god of the island.
At some point.
Until, I guess, Jacob had a face, you know, and was made man. You know what I mean?
Jacob was always a man.
Well, at the beginning, it was more Ben saying, well, Jacob told me to. Nobody could see Jacob. He talks to me, you know, that kind of deal.
Well, I think Jacob was always living in the shadow of the...
But it wasn't shown.
I know.
That's what I mean. It was always...
I think they did it that way to really push the point of faith. And free will versus science, faith and science. That, you know, simply because you never saw Jacob, could you follow him blindly like Ben did?
Looks like the temple was there before the others moved into it.
Oh, yeah, that temple is.
And so it wasn't necessarily, they weren't necessarily, it wasn't built for Jacob.
I think it was probably, like, for lack of a better term, a fort. It was something defensible that they could put the ash around and keep the smoke monster back.
But it was a safe zone for them.
Jacob was there for a long time.
Okay.
What I want to know is who was his mother?
Well, that was the next question on here was, what was her, you know, who was the woman who raised Jacob and the Man in Black? And how did she get there?
Yeah.
And how did she show herself to the Man in Black?
And why was she so long lived and so forth? Because she said she'd been there for a long time.
Well, I think once you're on the island, I don't know that.
But the other people didn't live long.
But they didn't drink the water.
They didn't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Well, there was something besides the water. There was also the incantation.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a question that was brought up right after that. Was it the water, or was it the incantation, or was it a combination of both?
Probably a combination of both. But now she had to drink the water, I think, before that, and then she picked one of them. It's weird.
Well, see, I don't know, because she didn't give Jacob the water. She gave him some of that wine.
No,
whatever
she got,
was in that
no,
green.
She got
it out of the water. She got
did
the
she?
Water.
Yeah.
Out of the stream coming from the water, I think.
Yeah.
Last question here that I thought was that I don't think they answered too well. The Dharma Initiative. What were they really up to on the island? What was their ultimate goal with what they were doing?
Well, we saw the videotapes that they made. It had to do with that electromagnetic field,
mm-hmm.
and probably trying to harness it for evil doings. You know, like any other major corporation, they are soulless and they don't care. And so,
at least they had the dignity to have polar bears.
Well, that was another one of those things. Like, yeah,
Jordan, every time. I think.
Does anybody know what Dharma stands for?
I don't.
I didn't realize it was, I always thought it was just D8, you know, Dharma. Yeah. Department of Heuristics and Research on Material Applications.
Huh.
I didn't know that.
What is the second word? Department of what?
Heuristics.
Heuristic?
Which is an adjective for experience-based techniques to help in problem-solving, learning, and discovery.
Oh, crap. That doesn't tell you nothing, then.
It doesn't tell me nothing, but...
I mean, what is that?
I've always heard of the class
that you got to take in college.
I've always heard it as a term
just
that was used in...
Just to be a more rounded individual.
Uh-huh.
Used in just, you know, doing study on the Bible. People would use the term heuristics. It says here, heuristic is a rule of thumb, an educated guess, an intuitive judgment, or simply common sense. I don't know why you would...
And so they matched that up with what they were doing with Dharma?
Well, that's the acronym. Yeah. Heuristics stand for strategies using readily accessible through loosely applicable information to control problem solving in human beings and machines. That really makes it even more
obtuse.
Abstract.
It does. Yeah. I love it.
All right, give us one more. We got about
okay. I'll give you one more. Let me see if I can find
down
something.
The shop.
Pick a number between 1 and 50.
75.
75.
I thought you said between 1 and 50.
I was answering before he said the last number.
You see how he does? What does God need with a starship? I mean, why does Locke need an airplane to leave the island? That's one of their...
But God,
tongue in cheek, kind of. Why does he need a plane to leave the island? Why does he need a boat?
Yeah, how come the man in black couldn't leave the island, but Jacob could?
Yeah, Jacob was taking vacations in Borneo and ready to go.
I get it.
Because Jacob drank the water.
If he'd only drunk the Kool-Aid, this smoke monster would be happy.
Nikki, who we got next week?
You asked me too fast. David Anderson and Karen Good. We're gonna be talking about. And you know what? Some of these questions, Lola, you might be able to even talk to him about. He is an expert on time travel, anything with research on time. He's actually from Weirton.
Really?
Yeah, he's David Anderson.
Now tell
me. He runs the Anderson Institute out west somewhere.
How can you be an expert on time travel when we haven't time traveled?
He's an expert behind the theories, and they're actually doing research
on... It's like I am an expert on building a house out of spaghetti.
I'm an expert in heuristics.
All right, what's the second guess?
Karen Good, we're going to be talking about children who see ghosts.
Children who see ghosts.
Yes.
That'll be good. That'll be fun.
I think all children see ghosts.
Hey.
Well, that'll be something we can ask her about.
Here's something we can look forward to next week.
I'll be
making
here.
Sure they answer the phone.
I will call you. Listen here, expert on time travel. You travel back into the future and make sure that you're going to be on the show. Make sure it's a good show.
I'm on.
Oh, God. Okay, are we done?
Lola is rubbing her head. That's usually the time that we have to stop talking.
That's live radio, everybody. Until next
week. I think we handled it well.
Until next week. Hey, don't forget, buy a pen ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Whispersradio.com. Go there. It's coming up quick. It's going to be fun. Hopefully Herb shows up to that. Until then, don't be afraid, only believe.